Tonight, I would like to look at, okay, I do want to be ready when the Lord calls for me. So I'd like to find out, what is he looking for? What will he be looking for in my life when he calls me out into eternity? I would like for us to look at the subject of holiness. You know, a lot of times, if out in the world, even the religious world, if they hear the word holiness, immediately their mind goes to Pentecostal people that speak in tongues. That's not at all what the Bible is telling us holiness is. And I'd like to start with a verse. We don't read very much about John the Baptist's father, but there's a verse that tells us about how he and his wife were living. I'd like to look in Luke 1 and 6. Fifth verse tells us about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. Sixth verse said they were both righteous before God. How would you like to have that title? Righteous before God. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Just one little verse there that told about the life they were living. They were both righteous people before God. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And then you remember the story of Zacharias. You know, we don't see books written about him. Kind of like Enoch. There's only like a little bit given us about Enoch. He walked with God, and the Lord took him, and we never hear about him again, hardly. And the same way with Zacharias. But Zacharias did leave us a little message before he left, and that was in the 74th verse of that first chapter. You remember after the Lord opened his mouth where he could speak again after the child was born, in 74th verse, that he would, or 73rd, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we be being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. You know what? That is what the Lord has in mind for us today. That we can serve him without fear of the day that I'll be called out to meet him. You know what? I can have a relationship with the Lord to where I speak to him today. He speaks back to me. He shows me places in my life of adjustments that I need to make to where all it is just a little transition from here over to going to where he is. And this one says we don't need to have fear. It says we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, that he would grant us that we would be able to do that. I was looking at the definition of holiness: purity, integrity of moral character, freedom from sin. So is it God the only one that is holy? He also asked for us to be. So what does the Lord require of us? To be able to make heaven my home at the end, I'd really like to know it. I don't want to just, now my life is taken and I stand before him and I'm not sure if I'm ready or not. What does the Lord require? We see a verse over in Micah. It says, what doth the Lord require? And he gives us just a few things there. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And if we just took that one verse, okay, and we live up to those, but along with that comes the list continues as I look through the Bible at places I need to walk humbly before him. So as I look for other places, are there any other places that give me what he will be looking for if I want to go to heaven? I looked at a verse over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 14th verse gives us something, a guideline for our life. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Now, is it an option? Okay, I don't want to follow him this close in holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So if lacking to have this holiness in my life will cause me to not be able to see the Lord throughout eternity, I'd like to know some more about it. I'd like to find out what is he looking for in my life. The definition tells me that holiness is purity. And when Jesus on his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to get to see God. Then I know, you know what? I want to have that purity in my heart. You know where that purity starts? If I want purity in my heart, I'm going to have some purity in my thoughts. I am going to have to set up some barriers in my life because we're living in a time that we will be bombarded with thoughts that are not pure. You can drive down the road and there are billboards that want to send your thoughts in directions that are wrong. But you know what? The Lord's got power for us to be able to serve him without fear of displeasing him in this life and still have holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. I'd like to look at another verse over in Isaiah about holiness. Isaiah in the 35th, because God made provisions that we would be able to live holy. And I like the way it was described here. 35:8, a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. A highway. You know, you can travel from the East Coast to the West Coast on Highway 66. And you can have maybe hundreds of stops in little towns. Or they built a highway that you can get on and travel became so much easier. I think about how quick now, I mean, it still seemed like a long time, but to be able to get on Interstate 40 and you just head out across the United States, only have to stop for gas. You know what? God came along with for holiness. He said, I'm going to make a highway. There won't be unclean things on this highway. So you know what? If I partake of the unclean, there's a chance that I can be not on this highway myself. No matter, it's not what I say. It's not he that commendeth himself that is approved, but I'm desperate for what the Lord commends. And I am thankful that he has provided a highway for us. Holiness was never intended to be restrictions for me. I would like to encourage you to go online sometime and look up the message of Brother Michael Smith's at Monarch a couple of years ago. Is it restrictive or is it protective? Those two words put together. Because at work, they have safety rules for us. And if you're going to use a grinder to grind some metal, you need to put on these safety glasses. Now, I can say that is restrictive because I don't know why it is, but when I put those things on, usually I'm sweaty and they start fogging up and they're just a big hassle. But you know what? If I take them off and my boss walks in, he has said in the past, you know what? We don't have a whole lot of use for blind maintenance men. Put your glasses on. Put your protection on because it's not restrictive. It's protective. And you know what? That is the same way with holiness. It was never intended to be restrictive. It was intended to be protective, to protect us from what the devil would like to put on us. Let me tell you what somebody thought of holiness. You know, many people today say, I don't want to live that careful. I want to tell you what somebody thought about it. And they were desperate for the Lord's help. And so we go to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles in the 20th, in the 20th chapter, there was a great host coming up against Jehoshaphat and the Lord's people. Jehoshaphat feared. He set himself to seek the Lord. And the Lord gave them some instruction, said, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. And in the 21st verse of the 20th chapter. It's time now for them to go out to the battle, and here's how they're supposed to go. When Jehoshaphat, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Can you imagine you got a big battle out ahead? The enemy is waiting just ahead of you, and you're going to start singing. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and what was the topic that they sang about? They should praise the beauty of holiness. Do you see holiness tonight to be beautiful? Do you see it to be protective in the dangerous time that we're living in spiritually, where I can lose my soul by the things that are coming in around me? I want to be able to be just like this verse. I want to praise the beauty that is in holiness. The world, the religious world, may not see much credit in it, but I want to see some very high value in it. In 1 Thessalonians, First Thessalonians 5:21, this has given us some instructions for how we should live. Prove all things and then hold fast to that which is good. You know, I think that's an important verse for us because there's a verse that says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Somebody's coming with this thing and I take it up and run with it. Instead, prove all things. Test it out. You know what I found? All you got to do is stop for a little bit and watch it, and you'll be able to soon see if it's got the stamp of holiness on it or not. Prove all things, and then you hold on, hold fast to that which is good. And then here's another instruction if I want to have holiness in my life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You know what? That's a good guideline for me. If I want to meet the Lord at art, I'm going to have to always remember this verse. Without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. Then I want to have holiness in my life. And here's one of the guidelines for it. Abstain from all the appearance of evil. You know, I can say, yes, I was there, but I did not partake. You know, I remember a president before, he said, yes, it's true, I did get caught smoking marijuana, but I didn't inhale it. You know, I smoked it, but I didn't inhale it. You know what? That's getting too close to the appearance of evil. For all of us, when evil is around, for me to say, what's the other verse? Evil communication, it's definitely going to do it. It's going to corrupt good manners, whether it's a week, whether it's a month, whether it's a year. Young people, I want to encourage you, as you're making decisions for your life, abstain from the appearance of evil. First of all, put your distance between what you know to be evil. And then realize, you know what, the people that I associate with, they may not draw me down today, but they can do it. Looking at some more, because my desire is, I want to make it. And God says I can make it. And that next verse says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to that time that we were talking about this morning when I'm going to be called out to meet the Lord. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be ready whenever he calls for us. Here's something else. It was never intended for me to live this life of holiness by myself. It was never intended for me to see the rules and say, I think I've got the inside power to be able to resist the wrong. There's something I need to remember. Jesus said it to Nicodemus. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see it, the kingdom of heaven. Born again is something more than what we hear about today of accepting Christ as your personal Savior or making a decision for Christ that does not make any changes in your life. Being born again is now I'm a different person. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. oh, I'll be able to see the difference. And you know what? I hope the world would be able to see the difference in me. Old things are going to pass away, and all things will become new. There's another verse that I need to remember that it's not going to be in my power. Excuse me. Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. This is a gift from God. The ability for me to live a holy life is a gift from God. It's just that I choose to be able to accept that gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And a lot of people will use that ninth verse and say, you know what? There it is right there. There's nothing you can do about it. And it's not even about works anyhow. But the tenth verse balances it all out. We are his workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in good works. His plan was that I would walk in good works. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, let your light so shine before men so that they would be able to see your good works. Yes. But the difference is, what do they do after they see the good works? Do they glorify the person? No, his plan was that they glorify God, the Father, which is in heaven, is what we want to have come from it. There's another one that tells me it's not in myself. This one is another good one for us to remember. It's in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know what? I'm not going to be able to obtain salvation on my own. There is none other name under heaven given whereby among men whereby we must be saved. It's going to come through the gift, the sacrifice that Jesus made. Got another verse that goes with that. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. First Corinthians 3 and 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, and it's Jesus Christ. You know, we sing a song, no righteousness of ours will ever avail. It's through the Lamb of God that we're going to prevail. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It's because of that blood, that sacrifice that was made for my salvation and my acceptance of it. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of works. So then do we say, okay, I understand that. It's not of works. So there's no part that I have to do except accepting it. No, there are some other parts for me. And I look at one of them in 2 Corinthians. I would really like, on the day, the minute that I leave here and stand before God, for my life to have holiness stamped on it. And this verse in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. See, there is a part for me to play. All of these things that are bombarding me, coming in around me, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This needs to be the goal in my life. I want to perfect holiness in my life. You know what? And today I can feel like everything is clear between me and God. You know what? Tomorrow he may show something else. It's what I do with that. As you walk in the light while you have the light. Because you know what? If we fail to do it, darkness is going to come on us. And it can do it to each one of us. So this one is telling us, here's a job for us. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. There's another one in Ephesians. Some things that I need to do. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 22nd verse, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is where the temptations start at, in our mind. And this it says, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's some things to put off, and then it says there's some things to put on. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is what I need to be putting on. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There are some things for me as the Lord deals with me about it, and I understand it, that I need to put off. And there are some things that I need to put on. And I want to be quick about doing that, because we have been reminded in the last couple weeks that my life is a vapor. And my vapor that I thought about before was, should I live to 80 years old? I've got 20, 19, 18 more years to go. But you know what? Our life can be snuffed out so quick. So I want to take advantage of these things, because I realize holiness is what he's going to be looking for. I want to have that stamp on my life when he calls me out to meet him. And there's a verse on the Sermon on the Mount that I need to remember. It said, you cannot, it cannot be done. Matthew 6 and 24. You cannot serve two masters. You're either going to do one or the other. Sometimes we will say, no, you can blend. You know, you go down to the gas station, you say, okay, I'm going to buy this one with 10% ethanol in it. I'm going to have me a blend because it's cheaper. Folks, we can't go to heaven with anything cheaper. It's going to be, I cannot serve two masters. I got to make up my mind. Am I going to follow the world, or am I going wholeheartedly after the Lord? You cannot do two masters. There is a verse that I'd like to look at. This is another part that I have to play. It's in Romans 6 and 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, I became another servant. I became the servant of righteousness. And it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, in the past while I was living in sin, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. A choice that I'm making about the things that come into my life and those that I will accept and those that I will reject. It says, for when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. It says in the next verse, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. That's the fruit that is now coming out of our lives. That's what I want to have. And then the end is what I've been wanting all along. And the end of it is everlasting life. For the wages of sin, still the same price tag today as it was back then. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is holiness an option? I can choose it or reject it and still make heaven my home. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter and in the 15th verse, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all of the conduct of my life, just like he is holy, that's my goal. I want to be holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Another verse I'd like to look at, we read it this morning, in Romans, the 12th chapter. A call for me to give myself to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present my body holy, H-O-L-Y, to the Lord, clean from the defilements of this world. Where the scripture still tells me, don't love the world, don't allow a love to get in my heart for the things of the world that would cause me a problem should I stand before the Lord. This says, present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. You know what? It's a lot different today than it was when I was a boy, but it's still telling us the same. However far the world should go, don't be conformed to it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those thoughts that would be presented that I would be able to reject, I would be able, first of all, to be able to understand which ones are pleasing to the Lord and which ones are not. And by His help, to be able to reject those that are not. I would like to, for us to sing a song together. It is song number 273. Jesus has taken my load of sin. Such love no tongue can tell. Then should I not resign to Him my life and all my will? Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Self and possession, all must be truly given to God alone. Can I behold the dear Savior's death and yet withhold a part? Oh, can I draw one selfish breath and not give all my heart? Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Self and possession, all must be truly given to God alone. Reason and justice, my debt of love, demand that I should be. Body and spirit and all I have devoted, Lord, to Thee. Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Self and possessions, all must be truly given to God alone. We must be holy as He is pure, for this the Savior died. Talents and time and all earthly store, to God be sanctified. Holy, dear brethren, we must be holy, living before the throne. Self and possessions all must be truly given to God alone. The religious world today will tell you if you will make a decision for Christ, you will make heaven your home. That decision for Christ will not take very long. Sometimes they will say in 5 minutes you can make a decision for Christ and you're guaranteed heaven. You know what the Bible tells me? That I can have a guarantee of heaven myself. But it's going to take more than a 5 minute decision. It's going to take a lifetime of me seeking for this holiness. This scripture, 2 Peter, I'd like to close with. It gave some instruction of some things that needed to be added into his life. It says in the 5th verse, beside this, 2 Peter, 1st chapter in the 5th verse, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness and charity. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the 10th verse it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. You know what? I'd like to know the things that if I do those, I will not fall. This 11th verse tells me I don't have to just hope that the gate will open enough to let me in. If I will do these things, you'll never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am so thankful that God has a plan for me to make heaven my home. I don't have to be to where I don't understand what it is. It is holiness in my life. It is pleasing the Lord and rejecting the things that He shows me. This is of the world. And as maybe we mentioned this morning, the rich young ruler, Jesus has the right to come to each one of us and say, this thing in your life, I would like for you to give it up. Others may be able to do it. It's not sin, but this is taking too much of your time or too much of your thought. And you know what would be the easiest thing for me to do is look around. Others are able to do it. Why can't I? But you know what? I am asking the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. And I would like for you to put in my path the things that will help me to make it the best. You know what? The opportunity for that rich young man to make heaven as he was asking the Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I'm wanting it. And you know what? I want it tonight. And so he told him, he said, obey all the commandments. And he said, I've done those. And Jesus was able to look down inside his heart as he can see inside of our heart tonight. And he saw something. Go take care of this and you'll be able to have eternal life. And it was the one thing that his heart was wrapped up around. Jesus did not say this will be a law from here on out. No one can have money. Everyone give away everything you have. He didn't do that. This was special for that one person. There are times, and I want it to be this way, that I would walk close enough to the Lord that he would be able to tell me, I want to touch this area in your life. I want you to give that thing to me. And I would respond, gladly, Lord, I'll do it because I want to make heaven my home. And you know what? I would like to enjoy the journey while I'm going there. The Lord never intended while I'm here it to be a miserable journey, but I get to make heaven my home at the end. The miserable journey is when I'm trying to serve two masters, and it's a terrible existence then. I want to give my all to the Lord. I desire your prayers.